Hey, thanks for joining us. You're listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. Today, our study is in the book of Matthew. If you're in a place to grab your Bible and follow along with us, we invite you to do so. And if you'd like more information on Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, you can visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. Now, let's join Pastor Jim for today's study.
As always, it is nice to be together and to get into the Word. If you'll turn with me to Matthew chapter 7 this morning. Matthew chapter 7. A lot of good stuff. Good stuff to contemplate and kind of work our way through this morning as we're concluding the Sermon on the Mount. You remember as Jesus sat down there and started to teach and express his heart to the disciples and those who were around. Remember the mixed group that it was. It was people that had been following the Lord for a while, and then you've got the religious leaders of the time, and interesting to view from their perspective. And I like to just picture myself sitting there on the hill listening to the Lord speaking and just kind of looking around and checking people out, checking some of the reactions out from the different people in the group, because a lot of things are going on. Jesus is clearly saying here, this is not like some rules and regulation few chapters. That's not the point of it. It's not just saying, hey, these are the ideals. I know you can't live up to them, but well, you know, that's not the thought of it. It does show for us the very high standard that God holds and that it is unattainable for you and for I. But it does set for us that standard that we can look upon. But we're not able to live up to it. And so the longing in our hearts, the driving force of this is that we would look to God and want Jesus, need that. It shows us our need of a Savior. Shows us our need of help to follow him and to walk with him. And so that's really what is being laid out for us here by Jesus. Its design is to create a hunger and a thirst in your life, in my life, in their lives. And that they would see, even especially those who have been so pious, especially as he kind of has gone back through and said, hey, you've heard it said, but I say to you. You've heard it said, but I say to you. And we're going to clarify that at the conclusion of the message this morning. Let's begin in verse 1 as we pick up here. In chapter 7, judge not that you not be judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with what measure you use, it will be measured back to you. You know, this is a consistent theme in the New Testament as we go through and we look at this and we say, well, you know, let's consider what is judgment here. This particular word that Jesus uses for judgment isn't just mere observation. That's not what he's talking about, just looking and seeing something. He's driving home a very important point for us as we get through these first six verses. But at the very beginning, it's the word that he used here is a word that is judging to condemnation of someone. In other words, it's having a view of someone or of a situation in their life and looking at that and saying something to them or seeing that and having a condemning view of that person. Now, this leads to a lot of thought for us, and it should. That's what Jesus wants us to be thinking about this. Because we are to have observations, aren't we? And we are to make some elements of judgment about circumstances, but not judgment to condemnation. See, I can see something going on in someone's life and see that situation, and I can identify that, but I need to be careful of my heart that I'm not looking down on them or down on that situation or condemning them because of their circumstances, which is often the case, isn't it? This is where we get into that critical spirit thing that kind of sets in. And judgment that Jesus is talking about, he's warning us not to judge to condemnation, because, and he's not saying for you or for me as a believer that we're, you know, looking upon others. We shouldn't look at others in a sense of condemning them on an eternal sense, obviously, because that's certainly not our place. But even condemning someone in their walk with the Lord, because the thing is, every one of us, when we judge, you've heard the saying maybe, it's that pointing of the finger. and you got those three, they're heading right back at you. You know, it's that kind of a concept that we've got to be so careful, because we can isolate and point out and kind of that nitpick and bing, you're right there. But we got this, what about us? And so Jesus wants us to think about that, because that's going to change my interaction with someone else, isn't it? That's going to change your interaction with someone else when you make that maybe very legitimate observation. But it's easy to say things about that person, regarding that person, that's condemning them in a relational sense. You're kind of going to sever your relationship with them, possibly, because of your views about what they're doing or how they're doing it. Jesus is so good about how he points this out for us to be careful, because that judgment that we use, he says, it's going to be meted back to you. You know, there's none of us look at a situation when we've got the fumble on the field, when we've made the error, when we've sinned, when we've missed the mark, which we do, and when we've done it, we don't cry out for judgment or justice, do we? We cry out for mercy and grace. That's just our nature, because it involves us personally. We want to be dealt with graciously. Now, the same Jesus is saying is what we ought to be doing to look at someone else. Let's get this thought clarified and kind of hone in on a little bit better. We can drive by, look off out in a field, and we can say, wow, what an idiot. What are they driving around out there for? Now their truck's stuck or their car's stuck. That's just stupid. What are they doing out there anyway? That's the lamest thing I've ever seen. And just condemn them, really, basically, verbally. And just drive on by. They're out there trying to get their car out of the ditch, and, you know, we're just, boy, that's just stupid. What are they doing over there anyway? It just doesn't make any sense. Of course, we don't know anything. We've got very limited, remember this, you and I have very limited information most of the time. It is true. We don't know all that we think we know a lot of the time. Have you found that out? Sometimes when you've talked with someone, especially when you've had maybe kind of a little bit of a condemning viewpoint of a person or a circumstance, have you ever been in that situation where you've kind of viewed things in that light? And then as you've done that, then later you found out this fact, this other thing, this other circumstance that led to the situation that they were in. And you go, oh, man, why was I thinking like that? We don't have all the information most of the time. So Jesus has given us a great warning here. Why spend, you know, we've got a lot of verses to go through this morning. Why spend so much time? This is real for us, brothers and sisters, for every one of us. We struggle with this. Every one of us does. We struggle with it as the victim, and we struggle with it as the accuser. We're both. It happens. And we need to be careful. We need to guard our hearts on this. In other words, I can look at that situation and think in my mind, man, that is just stupid. But I can also stop, and I can pull over. I can get out of my car, and I can walk over and say, hey, listen, I got a chain. I think I can maybe help pull you out of the ditch here. Now, as I'm doing this, it'll probably strike up opportunity now. I've got a platform. I'm someone who's interested. I'm wanting to help. It opens up a platform maybe to make some inquiry. You know, what are you doing out here anyway, man? You know, you start finding out maybe there's a reason why they're there. Maybe there's a situation that happened. Maybe their kid lost their puppy and they're chasing it in their car. I don't know. But, you know, there's a lot of different circumstances that could be going on. Their heart could be right in what's going on, but they're stuck. And so are we collectively as people, as Christians, are we interested in extending out and saying, hey, listen, I want to help you with this situation. I want to help you with this matter. I want to help you solve this. Now, this goes in every direction, doesn't it? Because if I'm the person with the car stuck in the ditch, you know, I can't resist someone pridefully and say, no, that's okay, I'll take care of it, you know. That's pretty porcupine-y, isn't it? You know, no one's too eager to get the chain out of the back of the truck, you know, and help hook you up, because they're going to get muddy too. Everybody's going to get muddy now. Are you and I willing is the point Jesus is making. Are we willing to get in there and get muddy with somebody to help them get through a struggle, a situation? And that's all he's talking about here. It's that simple. Be careful not to judge people. Don't judge people to condemnation. And especially if you're not willing to help them out. Let's go on. Jesus really starts to clarify this. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Remember the hypocrite. The hypocrite was the actor. The hypocrite was the one that had the masks, you know, the play-acting person. That's what that literally means, someone who had the different masks. And he says, hey, in other words, they're fake, hypocrite. First remove the plank from your own eye, Jesus says, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Now, this is the interesting part about this. We think about it, just, I got a fleck of something in my eye, and, you know, and someone's looking and saying, oh, man, your vision's blurred. You got this little thing in there, and you're looking at their life and just going, I'm not so sure I want you touching me or helping me, you know, because, you know, they got this big 4x4 in there. Idea is this big beam. Setting a beam, let's say, and a fragment of the beam comes off, you know, and stuck in somebody's, one of the other person's eyes. The thing that's interesting that Jesus uses here is it's the same material. In other words, it's the same product or the same chunk of wood. It's a smaller piece that got in your buddy's eye, your brother's eye, smaller chunk of what is blocking your vision, too. The thought is, Jesus is saying, it ties in with what we've been talking about the judgment aspect, is that oftentimes we can isolate and pin down very accurately for others those things that we most likely struggle with ourselves. It's a bummer, isn't it? But it's true. Those things that we might be really quick, you know, to say a judging, condemning view towards someone, is oftentimes something that is a characteristic within our own lives that we really struggle with. Maybe secretly, but it's there. Isn't that interesting? Same material, just a larger chunk is in your life. This is why sin sniffing is not a good policy. You see, because when you go looking around for everybody else's sin, or you're quick to point out everybody else's sin, you know, the bottom line is the Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You're not making some brand new observation. You see? We're not doing that. When we observe that, we're just saying, hey, you know, when you really struggle, I had a situation a while back where something went on and I was just struggling with something. I was just really praying through it and thinking about it and just trying to deal with the situation in my own life. And I really realized, man, one, I was really thankful for the conviction of the Spirit of God. I think that's awesome because the conviction of the Spirit of God means that the Spirit of God's alive and well in my life and convicting me, you know, of an area in my life. And so I was thankful for that. But as you look at that, you say, man, not only that, but you're thankful that the Lord helps you to identify things. And it helps you to also look at things through a really open heart, knowing that everybody is going through stuff. It's a compassion. It's dealing with things with mercy and compassion. And that's God's desire for our lives, that we deal with one another in this way. So when we look at a situation, we see a situation, be aware that maybe you've got something in your life that maybe is helping you identify something in someone else's life very readily. And he says, first, deal with the matter in your life. Deal with that. Confess. Agree with God. Say, yeah, that's a problem for me. And then on the back side of it, you've really got something. What are we to comfort wherewith we have been comforted, the Bible says. You know, so that I can then, you can, we can, collectively, as a body of believers, we can help one another because we're going to deal with it with compassion because, hey, I've had a struggle too. Does it mean that it's exactly the same struggle? No, it doesn't matter what the struggle is. It's that the same compassionate high priest, Jesus Christ himself, dealt with you, dealt with me, and we too can deal with one another in that way. That's the basic gist of those few verses there. We don't want to be like the hypocrites that just point out everybody else's sin and everybody else's mistakes and everybody else's issues. But the reality is, man, we got a lot of things to be working on, let the Lord work on in our own lives. Isn't that true? It's really just a simple fact. Verse 6, do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and turn and tear you in pieces. This is that idea of the porcupine thing that happens. Hey, listen, man, I just need to talk to you about something. I'm seeing this. You kind of took a turn on that road there in life, and I'm kind of concerned about the turn you're taking. And this is where, well, hey, man, who are you to judge me? And all the bing, the coils go out, and every ching, you know, it's like, you know, nobody's able to touch it, you know? We got to be careful with that. We need each other. We need that godly encouragement sometimes that says, hey, listen, you need to think about this. And we need to say, hey, you know what? Maybe it's the Lord. I need to listen. I need to think about it. You remember, good story that illustrates this was with David. When Nathan the prophet came to him, remember? And told him, hey, man, and this was after the situation with Bathsheba. And after he killed Uriah the Hittite, remember that? And Nathan says, hey, what do you think we ought to do with the guy that does this, you know? Takes this guy's got one little lammy and blah, 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 and, you know, and then, you know, the guy just kills the guy for his one little lammy, take his one little lammy. Oh, the person that does that should die. And Nathan just goes, hey, man, that's you. That's you. And isn't that so true when we see it? David could have resisted. He received from the Lord. It was a very pricey issue that happened in his life, but he received the correction from the Lord. But there are those that are just divisive, that just have a personal agenda, that just are so prideful that we have to let them run the course of the circumstances and maybe crash and burn a little bit. And hopefully, you know, you got your shovel and your pickup truck and you're ready to throw them in and get them to help, you know, when it's time. Because the situation here is don't throw your pearls before swine. In other words, there are people that are very argumentative. There are people that have to be right. There are people that so on and so on and so on. You know exactly what I'm talking about. You'll find, well, you'll watch, if you watch me much or observe much with me, I get pretty silent around those kind of situations. I'm just not going to waste my energy on it. They're going to hear a word I say anyway. You know, it's prayerful discernment. As we go on in verse 7, we find out how important prayer is, and it helps us to discern this. I do want you to note that in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 1, a man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. And then what's the next thing? So he isolates himself, he seeks his own desire, and rages against all wise counsel. The prideful attitude, the prideful thing inside of us, and we will rage against all wise counsel. This that's talking about here, about throwing your pearls before swine, giving some good input into somebody's life, is like throwing it out there, and it's a wild boar that gets a hold of it, and its tusks, and it starts, and they're razor sharp, and they start tossing around. I mean, you won't get in the way of those things. You get sliced up. That's what it's kind of thing it's talking about. Don't cast your pearls before swine. And the whole point is ultimately, it could tear you to pieces. What's the point? There are people that could argue you and I up one side and down the other, and all they've proven was that they could give a piece of their mind that they couldn't really spare anyway. That was it. That's all they got proven, wasn't it? They gave away something they couldn't afford to lose. There's no gain, really, in it. It's just, wow. You're pretty intelligent. That's neat. You know, that didn't help me spiritually, but that's great. You see, the whole value of it is to be able to share things and to help people, help one another with the same kind of help that the Lord helps us with the love and that ministering. And yes, sometimes it's very difficult. Are you willing to get dirty is the whole point with somebody in that sense. Are you willing to get in there and say, hey, listen, you remember running into the house, get in your room. You know what you stepped in. You were playing out in the backyard. You know what you stepped in. You know? That's all it is sometimes identifying something that simple with one another. I don't know. Something stinks, and we got to deal with this. Somebody's got their shoes, got to get cleaned up. It's that silly an illustration, I know, but it's the simplistic concept of helping out somebody with the matter. Let's go on, verse 7. Get serious here a little bit about prayer. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. So is this the blab and grab concept? Is this the, you know, just name it and claim it? Is this the, what is Jesus really saying? Because he says, for everyone who asks, receives, and he who seeks, finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. And remember, he's speaking to his disciples immediately. Others are listening in, but he's speaking immediately to his disciples, teaching them something. Now, what is the criteria of a disciple? What is the criteria of a disciple? That they're going to deny themselves, that they're going to take up their cross, and that they're going to follow Jesus. So they're not praying selfishly. They're not seeking for things just for themselves. They're not, you know, so we want to think about that. Be open to that. Know that those are the kind of things we want to be praying, seeking things that are going to be of benefit. And this idea here is when it says ask, seek, and knock, it's saying it in a way that is to mean keep on. It's an ongoing thing that we should be doing, not just a one-time deal, but we can bring things to the Lord. Now, we just covered, and you'd have to listen to it, but in chapter 6, we covered that repetitious prayer. But that's not what Jesus is talking about. Jesus is saying, pray specifically. You can ask many times. In other words, persistence is important in our prayer lives. We think, I prayed about that. You know, the one quick shot prayer, and that's it. Guess that's not meant to be. Well, no, sometimes we got to pray and be persistent and really get the mind in the heart of God, because prayer isn't just me declaring what I want. It's me hearing from the Lord what His will is in a matter, in a situation. God, what do you want to speak to my heart? And God will oftentimes even change our prayer lives, won't He? He'll change what we're praying for, because He starts to change our hearts in the situation. But He guarantees that if we ask, we'll receive from the Lord. And if we seek, we'll find. If we knock, the door will be open. Or what man is there among you, if we're talking, he's talking about relationship here. What is the nature of our relationship? If there's a man among you, if his son asks for bread, we'll give him a stone. Or if he asks for a fish, we'll give him a serpent. If you then, being evil, we're just people, right, born into sin, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven, who is in heaven, give you good things? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. And what we find here summed up in these first 11 verses is kind of that golden rule that we've talked about, that do unto others concept. You know, just simply treat somebody like you'd like to be treated. What a great, great thought. And how are you going to do it? Can't do it on our own, can we? I need the power of the Holy Spirit in my life to do that. I can't do that on my own. I could like to think I could, but I know I can't. I would do things selfishly. I know I would. That's just the nature. That's our nature to do it that way. Even in noble things, in nobility, it can still be that way. And he goes on in verse 13. He says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. So, we live in a world today that says, you know, you've just got to broaden your viewpoint a little bit on some of these things. Really? Is that really what the Lord would want us to do? Broaden our viewpoint on some of those things? Broad is the way that leads to destruction. I'm not talking about just general information. I'm talking about our real view of the Lord. You know, we want to have an open view of God, but we also know that, man, there's only one way, Jesus said. And He was the way, the truth, and the life, is the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father but through Him. There's no other option.
Thank you so much for listening today. This is Pastor Jim, and I'm really blessed that you've tuned in, and I hope that God's really doing a fresh new work in your life. And oftentimes, when we hear messages like today's message, the Lord starts to tug on our hearts, and he wants to hear from us. He wants our response, and that's just a prayer, a simple prayer of faith. And maybe you just need to get right with God. Maybe you need to repent and turn your life back over to the Lord. Maybe you just need to give your life to Jesus, and you've never done that before. This is your time. This is your opportunity. God's word goes out, and He's making Himself known, and He wants you to live and have everlasting life. Incline your ear and come to Him. And so Jesus is calling out to you, and it's your opportunity to respond and call back to Him and just open that door in your heart. It's a simple response in prayer. It doesn't matter where you are or what you're doing. If you just pray this simple prayer of faith, God will come into your life and make your heart His home. Jesus, I ask that you would do just that. Make my heart your home, that you would come in and forgive me of my sin. I want to ask you to be my personal Lord and Savior. I know this isn't about religion. It's about a relationship, and I want to start that relationship. You're calling out to me. I'm thirsty. I'm hungry. I'm in need of spiritual help, and so I'm calling out to you, God, asking that you would help me. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for making yourself known to me. And Lord, I just want to receive that gift of everlasting life. I want to thank you for it right now. And I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. If you'd like more information about our ministry, please visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. And you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/CalvaryChapelKC. Also, Living Fountains podcasts are available in the iTunes Store, and you can download them at no cost. If you're in the Kansas City area and you'd like to join us for worship, the service times and directions can be found on calvarychapelkc.com, or you can simply contact the church office at 913-681-1635. It's been great spending time with you in God's Word, and we look forward to you joining us next time on Living Fountains.